Well, good morning. I'm going to draw you all back together again, finish those conversations. And I just want to introduce myself to you in case you don't know who I am. My name's David Thompson, and I lead Grace Church across our three sites, which is Chichester and Midhurst up in the Downs, and of course here in Bognor. And I'm so delighted that we have with us this morning David and Lynn Fernandez, all the way from Mumbai in India. And we are, as you'd have seen on the video, Grace Church is part of the Commission family of churches. This is part of who we are. It's not just an external thing we support. This is actually part of our DNA. It's part of our character. And it's so important. God has called us to serve this community that we live in, Bognor and Chichester and Midhurst and this part of West Sussex. But if as a church we were just to concern ourselves with the ground under our feet, we would be like a man who walks along looking at the ground, and soon enough he's going to walk into a lamppost. We have to have our eyes set on the ends of the earth. And being part of a family of churches that reaches around the world like Commission, it enables us to do that. And it does something wonderful within us. And so we link up with churches throughout Commission. But in particular, we partner with and we have a close relationship with some churches in particular. And I think probably the strongest out of all those relationships would be our links with Living Word Church in Mumbai. And some of you will remember Sydney and Cheryl, who've been over to us a few times, and he's spoken here. And Sydney leads Living Word Church and has done for the last 6 years. But before that, David led Living Word Church and did so for the 20 years before that, and is still part of the eldership team there and serves that church and that community with Lynn in an outstanding way. They hosted me wonderfully when I went to Mumbai last year, and it is just a privilege to be hosting them here in Chichester this weekend. And it's a delight that David's going to come and speak to us now. So I encourage you to open your ears to what he has to say, but also open your hearts to what God would say to you this morning through the ministry of this man as he brings God's word to us. Shall we welcome David as he comes to speak? Let's do that. Come on, David.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Have I put this on? This is on. You can hear me? Yeah, so this is it. The famous Bognor, I heard so much about. As Sydney kids talking, the name intrigued me to begin with, Bognor Reaches. Why? So how do they get a name like that in England? Normally it's Meadows, so-and-so, etc. But now I'm here, and it's great to see you in person. And what John has said is so true, that we have a special link. And Sydney sends his love, Sydney and Cheryl, who I think have been here. You've been here after you were planted out of the site. And we have much to thank you for. You know, we are following in your footsteps, because in our relationship with Steve, who we've learned a lot about site planting from you, and we have planted our first site 2 months ago. I could only see it for 1 month before I came to England. We've been here for a month and a little more than that. And facing the things you already are seasoned with. And I see that I was talking to some friends here earlier, and they were telling me what you've experienced as you planted out, etc. And it's exciting, isn't it? So I know I'm speaking to a people who are on the go. To have planted out 3 sites in 10 years is quite an achievement. We are still struggling with our first site, so I'm speaking to a people of faith, I believe, who are on the go and on the move. So what a privilege. So can I just pray before I start? Well, before I say that, you know, it's a great joy for me to have Lynn with me. We have been married for about 30, I better get the dates right. 34, darling. Thank you so much. Okay. Now, I don't know how many of you, have you seen an angel, anyone? Well, take a look at one. I married an angel, right? It's one of my unfailing jokes that I'll be spoken to about later on by Lynn. We have two children, one Stephen, who is back home, and he is very much a part of the site, leads the site there, not yet married. And we have our daughter, who's married an Englishman, an English diplomat, actually, and she now lives in London, and that's why we're having such a wonderful holiday this time with our grandson and enjoying England's green and pleasant land. And I see why it's green and pleasant this time for the first time. I've been here about 11 times, but never really enjoyed the country as we've done this time. It is a beautiful country. I thank God for it. Okay, thank you so much for your warm hospitality, John, Dave and Ali have been wonderful. And, you know, especially actually being picked up from London. I said, oh God, how would I get here otherwise? You've got changed three trains or something, John? So thank you so much for that, okay? You know, I'm so glad that you have Indians in your church. Are you surprised? Their names are John and Molly Oldfield. Okay? And they eat all the masalas we eat, okay? And they love things in India. We love them in India, and they love India. Let me just get going. I understand I have a time constraint. Now, I'm still old school. It takes me long to take off. I'm not a helicopter pilot, okay? So to take off this way is very difficult. Well, let me get going, okay? Can I have the first slide up, please? Yes, it's up already. Oh, I can see it there. Okay. The first one only. I'm calling this the parable of fruitfulness, as you will have noticed. It is the parable of the sower. But there's a reason why I'm calling it the parable of fruitfulness. You know, Tim Keller from the U.S. Rechristened, if I can say, the parable of the prodigal son into the parable of the prodigal father. Because really, it's about a lavish, generous, grace-filled father. It makes a lot of sense that if you ask the question, what was the purpose in Jesus telling this particular parable? Towards the end, you will see it is about fruitfulness, about being 30, 60, or 100-fold in fruitfulness. So I'm going to call it the parable of fruitfulness, okay? Shall we pray before I go ahead? Lord, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity I have here, Lord, to share your word. Come and be among us, Lord Jesus. Let it be as precious as the God-exalting, the Jesus-exalting time that we had in the praise and worship. And Lord, we pray that you will be exalted through this word in Jesus' name. Now, when someone speaks like Jesus is speaking, he's speaking from a boat, and the people are sitting on the beach. What a way to have a meeting, isn't it? On a beach. And the one who is speaking, we have the benefit of hindsight, because at that time, the book of John was not written. And we know the one who is speaking is the one of which it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he is the one who's speaking about the Word. The same person who, when tempted by Satan, when he was in the wilderness, says, man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is the credibility we know about, and we know the power of the Word. At that time, they were hearing him in the cold for the first time. Here was a teacher, extraordinaire, who came into their midst and began to teach words of life and power. So let's listen to it with that same approach. With that background, can I have the scriptures up, please? And we'll go through this first, which paucity of time, I may not be able to read everything else, and let's read it together. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow seeds. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched. And they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still the other seeds fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. And the disciples themselves had to ask him, why do you speak to us in parables? And Jesus then has to say that, you know, you have the privilege to speak in parables, or hearing, because you have ears to hear, you understand, that others may hear and not understand. Jesus then explains the parable of the sower, and I see that I don't have the time for us to read the explanation, which is up, and you can check it out. And he explains it similarly in Luke 8:9. So can we skip the next slide, please? Next one, after that. Okay. And Jesus then, combining the two explanations we get from Luke and Matthew, the first is a series of seven parables of the kingdom of God that Jesus has started introduced to them. So one can say that this is the kind of mother of all parables. He explains the word, so it's all about the word. Jesus or his preachers are the sowers of the word. As I'm doing this morning, I'm sowing the word to you. The provision of the word is God's grace upon our lives. One of the most precious things we have is the word of God. And it says in Luke 8:11, the seed is the word of God. Something that is being sown even this morning, and so can we pay attention to it. See, there are four different soils represented in the types here, and I'm going to go through those types. And as Jesus talks about the four categories of people who heard the word, as we are listening, we can perhaps say, where am I and where is my heart with regard to the word? Also, often we could be discipling others and bringing them right through into the fullness and the fruitfulness of Christ. And this is an important lesson God Jesus teaches us, to show how one can be even more fruitful with others. So here we go. So let's hear this with refreshment. In all things pertaining to the kingdom of God, there's the sovereignty of God, and I believe the word is the sovereignty of God, and there is the responsibility of man, which is our response. So four basic heart conditions that Jesus speaks about as far as his listeners are concerned and those who walk with him. Number one, the trodden heart. That is the ones who are on the pathway. A few years ago, I attended something called a life revision seminar in which the man concerned was talking about this particular parable. And he asked us, how is a path created? If I ask you a question, how is a path created? You know, I find it interesting. Your beautiful parks and lawns that you have here are something we don't have in India. They're so well maintained. But there's only one park somewhere near Catford that I went for. I noticed that there was a path in the middle of that particular lawn that was there. I said, how is that path created? It's created by frequently being trod upon. And therefore, we have, in our own ways, there's a path created in our own minds by frequent use. What in Romans chapter 12 it calls the patterns of this world, which really are untransformed minds. So we create patterns in our minds. And those patterns, you see, are the ones that prevent the word of God from touching our hearts. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel. And so when the word is planted, the devil comes and Jesus says, immediately he discourages them and they stop believing. You know, the story is told about the famous cabinet minister in Churchill's cabinet who went to hear the famous Martin Lloyd-Jones preaching. And this was a brilliant man. He obviously had a good mind. To be in the cabinet, he must have had a good mind. And at the end of it, the Christian who took him, they asked him, what did you make of it? He said, he's a very good speaker, but I didn't understand a word of what he said. See, because his heart was the trodden heart, one that has the ways of the world upon it, and therefore cannot receive the word of God. You know, salvation, belief, eludes such a heart. As always, God's grace is there this morning to give a fresh start to any heart that has reached that place. If you're visiting here to find out about this church and what are these people all about, here I know is a, is a group of people of faith, people of grace, who have understood the word and believe in it. I remember the time when I was first seeking. I was a seeker. And I would have all sorts of arguments with not being able to understand the word. And whatever my friend at that time used to tell me, I would have a counter argument because my mind was unrenewed. It could not receive the word of God. Similarly, in this particular category, you find Jesus saying, the trodden heart, the one that's on the pathway, cannot receive the word of God. Secondly, you have a hard heart, the rock, where Jesus talks about the rock. Seeds that fall on the rock, those who receive the word with joy, believe it for a while, but as soon as testing time comes, they fall away. Good example of the rich young ruler, isn't it? When he comes to Jesus, he likes Jesus. He finds him very attractive. But as soon as a price has to be paid, he is unwilling to pay that price. Now, you know, the word becomes flesh. The word becomes alive as you're willing to obey it. He was not willing to obey it. And so you find he walked away and Jesus was sad. See, Matthew Henry says, many are glad to hear a good sermon who do not profit by it. They are told of free salvation, of the believer's privileges, and the happiness of heaven, and without any change of heart, without any abiding conviction of their own. They finally cannot get hold of it. Michael Eaton, this famous preacher who recently died in Nairobi, came to Mumbai and he was talking to us, and we were saying, talking about, you know, once you're saved, are you always saved? Can you always receive the word? He says, I said, once saved, always saved, not once professed, always saved. There are a lot of people who can profess Christ, but don't really receive that word. That is the second category Jesus is talking about. Persecution, Jesus said, comes when they receive the word. And persecution can be external. And by the way, we will all be put to the test, including you here. As I hear, your laws are changing. Things are happening in this country. You will be put to the test. What will you do? Will you fall away? Or will the word come to the fore and you will stand up for God's word and give him the glory? Persecution, by the way, can be external. But it can also be in your mind, internally. You presume the other person may not be able to receive what you believe. It's a presumption, and therefore you back off. We need grace to be able to stand in the Word of God. That's what Jesus is saying in the second category, the hardened heart. The third category, I've got to look at my watch, oops. Third category is a choked heart. That means thorns and thistles. The seeds that fall among the thorns and thistles, those who believe, but three things choke the word from being fruitful. Number one, okay, the worries and the cares of the world. And I think many Christians, at least the one I know in my experience, fall in this category. So listen to me carefully. People sitting down here could fall in that category. The worries and the cares of this world, they can come and choke the heart. There are small worries, like the ones mentioned in Luke 10, where you find the story of Martha and Mary, where Martha is worried preoccupied with several other things, but with what Jesus is saying. You see, they could be hurts of the past that choke the word, worries and cares of this world. See, Jesus tells Martha to be like her sister Mary, who chose the better thing. Like Martha, they could be somewhat anxious. We live in constant anxiety. Anxiety could be the biggest word choker. Christians can be prone to this, worrying about this or the other. What do we worry about? We worry a lot about the future, don't we? That stops us from wanting to hear Jesus as Mary did. Regardless of, you know, you can be some of us who could be even serving the Lord, but like Martha, so preoccupied with the servanthood that we don't want to sit at the feet of Jesus and hearing what he's saying. Do you find yourself choked by worries? Sheer business-like, sheer preoccupation can choke the word.
Perhaps right now, some of us could be worrying about what's going to happen. What's going to be happening even after this word? What's going to happen for lunch? What's going to happen at the picnic? Your minds could go in that direction. That stops the word from sinking in. We do need, by the way, action-oriented people. But Jesus is saying, are you anxious? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. But in all things, by prayer and petition, make your request known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. The second category of the thorns and thistles is the pleasures of this world. You know, foodies. You have a lot of foodies here? You're constantly thinking about food. I was on a holiday once, and one of my fellow leaders called me and said, by the way, how are you enjoying your holiday? I said, I'm having a great time. He said, what about the food? What food are you eating? I said, food. I mean, it is uppermost in his mind. Food is uppermost in his mind. And many of us Christians can get choked. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There could be, of course, addictions of different kinds. We have, I'm sure there's alcoholics, drugs, etc. They choke the word. But, you know, there's another thing called this instrument today. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? It can take all our time. Sexual preoccupation in your thoughts. A pastor friend of mine from a church in Mumbai, a born-again, spirit-filled, Bible-believing church, was having a session with his people, young people. And they were dealing with addictions of this kind and talking about it. And he said, okay, why don't you listen on a piece of paper and then crumple that piece of paper, put it in a bin, which you're going to carry later on, and that means you're burying it once and for all. This curious pastor, at the end of the whole thing, picked up those pieces of paper and found out that 30% were hooked onto pornography. Now, I don't know what it is like here in this country, but this is something that has entered into our very presence all the time because of smartphones, isn't it? It's the same thing. What I notice in London, at least, everyone is walking like this. Everyone, you see, when we're sitting down at the bus stop, even in the malls, everyone has got their smartphones on. By the way, it's no different in India. And you're finding sexual pornography, sexual preoccupation, which really chokes the world. I believe this is one of the biggest problems that we are facing in the world today, and we've got to find a solution to it. Oops, I've got to go faster. Overindulging in social media, obsession with personal relationships, all these things are pleasures of this world, God-given, by the way, many of them, God-given, so they have to be handled in a godly way, and then we don't want to all these things to choke the word. The last one, of course, is deceitfulness of wealth in this category. Why is it called deceitful? Because the dividing line between needs and wants can sometimes be blurred. You know, we come from a country like India into England, and you say, wow, this is such a prosperous country. And I was talking to someone who was complaining to me about the situation here. And I said, you know, you don't know what you have here. It's amazing. It would be luxurious for people in India. And yet, you will not always see it that way. It is all relative. It can preoccupy us. And just what Jesus has said, the deceitfulness of wealth can choke us from receiving the word. Our ambitions, and it's not wrong to be ambitious, but running after money for its own sake prompts 1 Timothy 6:10 to say, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Jesus is warning people at that time, and even 2,000 years later, it is still so relevant that we've got to be careful about the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, the news media in India, I don't know how it is here, I suspect it is similar, has almost daily horrific stories of gruesome murders taking place. What is the root of that? Most of it is fight over property and money, the deceitfulness of wealth. You know, we can say we're not in that category. But wealth can subtly touch, you know, consume our hearts. So we've got to be careful about an urge towards materialism. We overcome the cares of this world, the pleasures of life, and the deceitfulness of wealth by doing what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil in the desert. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the last category is the good heart, the good soil, the believing heart, all right? One that responds to Christ's finished work. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And you see, we as Christians, over time, can suddenly find, my heart has gone cold. Do you find that sometimes? My heart has gone cold. And so, Jesus says, that promise is available at all times. He can give us a soft heart again. A heart that believes, which Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And we begin to bear fruit, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So as you're listening to me, say, what category am I in? Am I a 60-fold, 30-fold, or 100-fold? And what do I want to do? I want to bear 100-fold. That means all that God has in store for me. By the way, for every age, for every gender, for every person, for every individual here, God has something in store for you that he wants you to bear fruit in. And he will call you uniquely and call you and say, do you want to bear fruit 100-fold? Are you going for 100%? Jesus will enable you to do so. Now, faith comes by hearing the word. We honor God, therefore, with our time and our talents. How do we cultivate, in closing, how do I cultivate a good heart? Number one, make the word your first port of call. In all situations, we first ask the question, what does God's word say to me on this particular issue? You know, when we get up in the morning, I don't know about you, I used to be in the habit of checking my phone. That is a big snare. And so, recently, I said, I'm not going to touch it, or if I'm going to look at it, I'm going to leverage it or use it to first go to the word of God. And I have an app, a Bible app here, that gives me my verse for the day. So I'm feeding my mind on and beginning my day with the Word of God. Can I encourage you to get the app if you're phone oriented? It's a very nice way to do it. Then they also give you a devotion for the day. Or you may have your own system. But please saturate your mind when you start in the morning with the Word of God. It changes everything. Just try it if you're not doing it. So that's one. We can be bombarded daily with negative news information, but if we process everything through the Word of God, our attitudes, etc., through the prism, we will be kept under God's umbrella. That's what Jesus did in Matthew 4, isn't it? And we're able to quote the Word. Now, we need to be a people who learn to store the Word of God in our hearts. Scripture memorizing is not as popular as it used to be in our time. I don't know how it is here in York Church, but we do have access now to facilities like the phone to keep memorizing scripture all the time. Can I encourage you to store God's word in your mind and in your heart? And then we become a people who live by the word. And Jesus was preaching and telling them, you want to be fruitful? Then this is one thing you got to do. Store the word in your heart. Secondly, delight in the word. Like the psalmist in Psalm 1 who says, does not walk in the category of people first. And then he says, but I delight in the law of the Lord. And on his law he delights day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season. Now the fruit of the Spirit, which is referred to in Galatians 5, if we want to be a people of that fruit, the key is going to the Word. And the word will lift us up each time. If your heart is dry, discipline yourself to read the word daily by faith. Say, I don't feel like reading it. let me get to the Word first thing in the morning. I know there's a pressure for time. And what I'm seeing in many churches today, the ways of the world are taking hold of our minds. And we've got to fight it by finding ways to be able to get back to the Word first. Discipline will lead to delight, you know, and desire to delight. Let us be a people who delight in the Word, as the psalmist says in Psalm 1. And scriptures then becomes a part of our lives. And lastly, do not just be hearers of the Word, as it says in Matthew chapter 7, but be doers of the Word. You know, there's something very precious in you hearing a word and then actually doing it. As you do it, something happens inside us. Faith rises. You know, I had a picture which I want to end with right now. A picture of a kind of snowflakes falling up from heaven. And when I sort of sought the Lord on it, I said, these are not snowflakes. This is manna coming from heaven. And God fed his people with manna daily. There is the word of God, but there's a daily feeding of manna from heaven. And I believe God would have you say, I'm going to feed myself on the manna from heaven, not the manna of this world. There's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of information. There's a lot of philosophy. There's a lot of kind of ways of thinking today in the world. But let's be a people who, unlike the people of God at that time, who craved the food of Egypt, we will be a people who crave the food from heaven. And the food from heaven, remember, was sufficient for that day. It was sent by God every day. You pick up that word. And this makes life very exciting. Imagine yourself getting up every morning and saying, by the way, what manna does God have for me today? It's life transforming. Every day becomes an adventure with God. Every day becomes an adventure with Jesus and makes life exciting. God bless you all. Thank you.